Once upon a time, long, long ago, before you and I were even born, there was a poor widow who lived in a tiny thatch-covered cottage along a tiny, winding, dusty road. She was very poor. She had practically nothing. Nothing, that is, except one cow and one son, a lad whom she called...
Jack! Now, where is that boy? He's never around when I want him. Probably off daydreaming somewhere, as usual. Jack! Do you hear me? Jack!
Here I am, Mother. What do you want?
Oh, now where have you been? Up in the clouds again?
No, Mother. I was just counting the leaves on our tree. Is supper ready?
Supper? Is that all you can think of?
What's the matter, Mother?
Son, I'm worried.
What's wrong?
I'm worried about our cow, Milky White. She hasn't given a drop of milk in 3 days. And you know as well as I do that her milk is the only thing we have to sell at market. If we have no milk, we make no money. And if we have no money, you have no supper.
Mother, whatever happened to all our money anyway?
Jack, I've told you so many times. It was stolen from us when you were a baby. But we can't think of that now. Jack, I want you to take Milky White to market and sell her today.
Sell her? We can't sell her. She's like one of the family. She'll give lots of milk tomorrow, Mother. I know she will. You just watch and see.
It's no use,
but Mother,
Jack.
I
don't want to hear another
her.
Word.
Mother,
now, you
please.
Take that cow and be
but
off to market.
Mother.
Now, here
but...
she is. Take her away.
Oh. Yes, Mother. Come along, old girl.
And Jack, be careful. Don't let anyone cheat you.
So, sadly, Jack and Milky White plodded down the dusty road to London Town. They meandered up and down over the hilly road that stretched its way through the lush green fields. Just as the next town came into view, something else came into view also. It was a shriveled little gnome of a man. He had a long, white, flowing beard and a crooked cane, which he leaned on in a jaunty manner. He stood in the middle of the road, and when Jack and Milky White came up to him, he blocked their path.
Please, sir, would you mind stepping aside? Milky White and I are in a hurry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. I don't mean to hold you up. I just wanted to admire your beautiful cow, that's all.
What did you say?
I say, I've never laid eyes on a more magnificent animal.
You're right, sir. Milky White is a true champion, and she's practically priceless.
That's what I say.
What?
Practically priceless.
That's what I thought I said.
Oh, that's what you did say. Oh, I'm so confused. Well, anyway, I'm so impressed with your animal that I'm almost tempted to own her.
You are?
In fact, I am tempted. And I'm considering, even right now, offering you...
Yes?
Offering you...
How much, sir?
Yes, I will. I'll give you in exchange for that gorgeous creature. Milky White, you say her name is?
Yes, sir. How much?
I'll give you... my 5 magic beans.
Beans? Did you say beans, sir?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. But it was only a slip of the tongue. No, really, I shouldn't be that foolish as to give my magic beans.
Magic beans?
No. After all, they're the only magic beans in the whole world. I couldn't do it. And to top it all, each one is a different tasty color.
Magic beans? Are those the ones you have in your hand?
Oh, yes, these. Well, yes, but I couldn't really consider. What I said was hasty, foolish, you know.
Magic beans. Oh, such beautiful colors. Sir, wouldn't you consider a trade?
Yes, but, what could you possibly have that would be close to the value of my magic beans?
My cow, my wonderful cow. You said so yourself, practically priceless.
Did I?
I'll trade you Milky White for your magic beans.
I don't think I should.
Please, sir, it's a very good trade, sir. You'll just love Milky White.
There is something irresistible about her. All right, it's a bargain.
Oh, thank you, sir. Here's Milky White, sir.
And here are the beans.
Goodbye, Milky White. Here's a kiss. Oh, we're sure gonna miss you. Goodbye. Goodbye, sir.
Goodbye, son. Watch your magic beans. And your P's and Q's.
Yeah.
the wonderful exchange I made on our cow.
Well, calm down now and tell me how much money you brought home with you. 5 pounds, 10, 20?
Mother, look, 5 beautiful colored magic beans.
Did you say beans?
That I did.
Magic beans. You mean to stand there, Jack, and tell me you gave our only cow to some old cheat for these worthless colored beans?
But, Mother, they're beautiful.
Jack, how could you? Go to your room right away. Do you understand? Right away.
Let me explain.
Go. Now give me the beans first. Here, give them to me.
They're magic. Don't take them away.
Magic. I'll show you how magic
they
are.
No, Mother, don't.
There.
No.
Out of the window with your foolish old beans.
No, Mother.
Now you go to bed. And no supper.
It was indeed a restless night for Jack. But with the first light of dawn, he awoke and suddenly became aware of a strange shadow outside his window. Leaping from his rumpled bed, he rushed out of the room and into the garden. And there Jack saw a sight that widened his sleep-filled eyes. The 5 magic beans his mother had thrown from the window had miraculously taken root overnight and had grown up into a giant tree. It had massive stalks that entwined into a giant rope. Jack ran outside to the base of the stalk and bent his head back as far as he could. He stared upward, but he couldn't even see the top of the strange beanstalk as it disappeared into the misty clouds.
Mother! Mother! Come quickly! Oh, look how the magic beans have grown!
What magic beans? Gracious. Gracious me. This is really magic. I've never seen anything like this in all my days. Jack, what are you doing?
I have to climb it, Mother. I have to.
Jack, come down here this minute. Come down, you hear?
The magic stalk has to lead somewhere.
Jack, this is foolishness.
Oh, I can see the whole town from way up here.
Jack, please, be careful. Oh, that boy. Be careful, Jack.
But Jack couldn't hear his mother. He was so high up already that all sounds from below had faded. And Jack continued to climb up and up and up. He passed through one cloud after another. Then suddenly, he poked his head through a bank of puffy, soft, pink clouds and found himself in clear, bright sunlight in a sky so blue it didn't look real. Jack knew he had come to the top step of the beanstalk ladder and had come into a strange new world. All at once, a voice came to him, seemingly from nowhere.
Jack, you may step off the beanstalk now.
Yes, ma'am. I can't see anyone. Where are you?
You don't have to see me, Jack. I can see you.
Who are you?
I'm the good fairy, Jack. I've been waiting for you to come. You have work to do here, Jack.
What kind of work?
You had no supper last night.
No, I didn't. But how did you know?
I know all about you, Jack. You had no supper because your poor mother has no money.
No, all our money was stolen when I was just a baby.
Yes. Stolen by a wicked giant.
A giant?
Yes. And now you have come to the country where the giant lives. And you can take back all the gold that rightly belongs to you and your mother.
But how can I take gold from a giant?
You must be brave, Jack. Now follow this white road, and it will take you to the giant's castle. Be brave, Jack. Be brave. Goodbye.
Wait, good fairy. I don't know how to... Good fairy.
The good fairy was gone, and Jack stood alone before the long white road that stretched away to nowhere. He began to walk cautiously down the winding road. He walked on and on. As he walked, he grew conscious of his empty stomach. He hadn't eaten in a long time, and he was really hungry. Then, all at once, he came over a crest of a hill, and he saw it. A great tall castle with a great tall woman in the doorway.
Good day, ma'am. Could you kindly give a hungry boy some breakfast?
Huh? Breakfast? You most likely be breakfast yourself, boy. My husband's a giant. He eats everything he sets his eyes on. You'd better get off before he comes home.
Please, I'm really starving. Couldn't I have a crust of bread?
Well, crust of bread, I suppose. Come on in, and I'll give you a bowl of mush. But you better eat fast. He'll be here any minute. Sit down, sit down.
Thank you.
There you are.
Mmm, this hot mush really looks good. Mmm. Wait, what's that noise? The whole place is shaking.
That's my husband. My giant husband. Quick, hide in this oven. And don't breathe.
Fum. I smell the blood of an Englishman. Be he alive or be he dead, I'll grind his bones to make my bread.
Oh, nonsense, nonsense, lovey. You only smell the bones of that English goat you had yesterday. Come on now, eat your nice breakfast.
Mush? I don't like mush. I tell you, there's an Englishman around here someplace. I smell it.
No, it's just your imagination, lovey. Here's a nice tub full of hot mush. Now, don't let it stand and get cold.
All right. Is that all? You call that a decent breakfast for a growing giant?
Well, you'll be having lunch in a little while. Why don't you take a nice little nap now?
Because I'm not sleepy. Bring me my 3 bags of gold. I want to count my money.
Of course, lovey. I'll get them for you. Here they are. Oh, my. They are heavy. There you are.
All right. Now leave me alone, wife. You know I don't like anyone around while I'm counting my money.
Of course, lovey. I know. Now you go right ahead and count yourself to sleep.
Ah, what a beautiful sight. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Soon the wicked giant was fast asleep, and the castle trembled with his snores. Jack, hiding in his oven, heard the snores and knew the giant was asleep. So he crawled out of the oven and tiptoed past the giant.
Oh, he's the biggest, ugliest, meanest-looking giant in the whole world. I better not waken him. He's got his hands on the bags of gold. If I can just slip one out... Oh, that was close. But he's changed his position. And now I can get it. I've got it!
And Jack grabbed one bag of gold, slipped through the door, and ran as fast as he could to the top of the beanstalk. Holding on tight to the bag of gold, he scrambled down the beanstalk into the waiting arms of his worried mother. Oh, what a reunion they had. The words of Jack's adventure spilled out of his mouth like a waterfall. Jack's mother was about to scold him, but when she saw the bag of money, she became so excited she forgot all about scolding him, and together they counted out the pieces of gold and laughed happily as they did so. Now life became much easier for Jack and his mother. They paid all their bills, they bought a new cow, and they watered the beanstalk every day. But they were so free in their spending and so generous in sharing their gold with their neighbors that it wasn't long before they were penniless again. And Jack knew he had to climb up the beanstalk again and visit the wicked giant. So it wasn't long before Jack stood before the giant's wife begging for a piece of bread. Luckily, she didn't recognize him, and she offered him some mush. But just as he sat down to eat...
What's that?
That's my husband, the giant. Quick, quick, hide in this closet. Hurry up, hide there.
3, 5, 4, 5. I smell the blood of an Englishman. Where is he? Where is he?
Where is who, lovey?
You know who, the Englishman. I smell him. Where is he?
Oh, you just smell the Cornish hen you had for lunch. Sit down, lovey, and I'll bring you your golden hen, and she'll lay you some nice golden eggs for you. Sit down now. Make yourself comfortable. Here you are. Here's your golden hen, lovey. She's all ready to lay some eggs for you. There.
All right. Now you leave me alone. You know I don't like anyone in the room while I'm counting my golden eggs.
I know. I'm leaving.
Ah, my precious feathered pet. And now I'll count to 10. Lay golden eggs, my pretty hen. Lay until I count to 10. 1, 2.
Oh.
Again, the wicked giant counted himself to sleep. Now, Jack crept out of the closet and tiptoed over to the giant.
I must get the golden hen without waking the giant. Here, Chicky. Here, Chicky. I've got you.
Unluckily, the cackle woke the giant. The next thing Jack knew, he was racing down the crooked road with the hen under his arm and the giant in hot pursuit after him. But the giant was so stuffed with food, he couldn't catch the fleet boy. And Jack escaped again and quickly shinnied down the beanstalk, back into the arms of his waiting mother. Through the days to come, Jack and his mother lived comfortably on the golden eggs which the magic hen produced as if by, well, magic. But then word came to them that a wicked giant was raiding and looting the villages nearby and stealing all the villagers' money. Jack knew it must be the same giant. His mother was terrified, and so were all their neighbors. Jack knew now that he had to climb the stalk again and teach the giant a lesson. So it wasn't long before Jack found himself again in front of the tall castle. But this time, Jack didn't knock on the door. Instead, he waited till the giant's wife went out to draw water. And then he quietly tiptoed in and hid, of all places, in a big copper skillet. Then the giant's wife came back with the water.
Oh, glad I've got my supper ready for that old giant husband of mine. Never stops eating. Oh, here he comes. Here he comes now.
If I fall from, I smell the blood of an Englishman. Where is he? Where is he?
Where is who?
There's an Englishman here, and I know it. Is he in the closet?
Of course not. You're just imagining.
It smells like it's coming from the oven.
Well, there's nothing in the oven.
Not there. Must be in the skillet.
Now, don't you touch my skillet. There's nothing in there for you. Now, you sit down and eat your supper.
Jack was holding his breath in the skillet. Finally, the giant sat down and ate a tremendous meal, boasting to his wife that he had destroyed another village. And then he called for his golden harp. His wife brought it to him, and the giant commanded,
"Golden harp, play for me." That's the sleepiest sound in the world.
The soothing music soon put the giant to sleep, and the moment his wife was out of the room, Jack hopped out of the skillet and grabbed the harp and started to run off with it. But the harp cried out,
"Master! Master!"
The cries of the harp awoke the giant, and in a flash he was up and chasing Jack and the harp. Jack raced for the beanstalk and was soon climbing down. But this time the giant was terribly close behind. Near the bottom of the stalk, Jack could see his mother waiting for him.
"Mother, hurry into the house and have an axe ready for me. Hurry!"
I'll get it right away.
"I'm almost at the bottom, Mother. Hurry!"
"Here you are. I've got the axe ready."
"Quick, hold the harp and stand back."
"All right. Faster. Faster, Jack. There's a huge giant climbing down the beanstalk."
"Look out! Timber!"
"Jack, my boy, you've done it. The evil giant is no more. What's this? A harp that sings by itself. Now what won't they think of next?"
And so at last the wicked giant was no more. He disappeared in a cloud of beanstalk fluff. For many miles around, the folks from all the surrounding villages came in to thank Jack and to shake his hand. And Jack now found himself not only a hero, but also sole owner of a hen that laid golden eggs, a golden singing harp, and a very proud mother who saw to it that her son lived a very comfortable and happy life forever and ever and ever.